and welcome into the Talking Caucho podcast with your host, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. It's soccer time in Nashville, finally. After a long offseason wait for the boys in gold, it's time to get back in action here in Nashville. And this weekend, they have the New England Revolution coming to town for match day one. A new season under BJ Callahan. Yes, the head coach they brought in after the sacking of Gary Smith. And then in the meantime, having Rumba Muntali step in as the interim head coach. Now BJ Callahan has had a full offseason to get all of his ducks in a row, get the players that he needs for his system, along with Mike Jacobs adding a few new players here and there. So yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting season. In my opinion, I'd say there's a decent expectation for this team to do well in MLS. I'd say possibly playoff worthy. And in some regards, you know, going into the U.S. Open Cup, that this team should be, you know, playing for some hardware. Obviously, it's been about a few years now that Nashville SC has been in the MLS, and you know, there's no hardware to show for their hard work. So that is something to look forward to into the season. I'm going to discuss some big offseason moves with some new additions to the roster. And we'll start here with midfielder Eddie Tagseth, the Norwegian midfielder from one of the Scandinavian leagues of the Swedish Premier League. You know, Eddie's one of those short stat guys, 5'6". You know, he's reached some new highs for his professional career with 10 goal contributions, 6 goals, 4 assists, and 26 matches across all comps, which is pretty impressive. I kind of look at this guy as like a V8 engine with a Hemi in it a little bit. You got to have a style of play that's going to have be high energy, kind of like Alex Moyle. A lot of Nashville SC fans are familiar with. It just guy's a high pace, high energy type guy. I think that's kind of what you got to see out of Eddie. But you know, also with Eddie's style of play, when you're a short stack guy, you got to be good with the ball at your feet. That's something that I've kind of been impressed with Eddie when we were, I guess, media members were allowed to come to practice, and I was just impressed with his style of play. Tagseth throughout the preseason, from what I've seen, he's built a pretty good chemistry with Hani and Sam. That was in the Lexington game where I got to see, you know, 11 on 11. Obviously not the same quality of MLS play from Lexington, but still, you're able to get a sample size of what could be this upcoming season for Nashville SC. There was a lot of close-quartered passing between the three of Hani, Sam, and Eddie. I could see a little bit of a concern out of that, but not necessarily. I think it's more of preseason just building the chemistry, building into match day one, what it could be like. But I'll get into it later on in the podcast of what, you know, that concern might be when it comes to those close-quartered passing, especially with those three and or other people along that flank. Overall, Eddie is acclimated well from what I've seen with this attacking group. If Nashville can stay healthy and get off to a fast start in the season, I think this team could be one of the sleepers in the Eastern Conference. I'm not just saying that because it's a hometown team, but this team is going to possibly win games that some people may think they'd not be able to. This is just that new era of BJ Callahan with the way he plays. He likes to play that fast-paced in-transition soccer, and a lot of these new additions that they're bringing in is kind of that. From the tape that I've seen on these players they brought in, is just commanding the ball and being able to play fast in transition and scoring a lot of goals, which is what's been preached this past offseason with BJ Callahan and his staff. But overall, I would like to see Nashville SC make the playoffs this year. I think this is one of those type of situations where it's a bounce back. Obviously, Nashville didn't have the best season last year with the, you know, departure of a few coaches here and there. But I think this is one of those bounce back years, especially when you have younger core, I'd say young core guys like a Patrick Yazbek, who they brought in last season, who can just command the field as a box-to-box midfielder. I think it's a special thing to have, and especially at his age, it's quite impressive. But back to the right side of the flank, where we also could see Andy Nahar. Nahar, you know, it's an interesting pickup, a Honduran right back, but it is interesting because Nahar is an attacking-minded right back, which kind of fits the whole BJ Callahan system, like I was talking about earlier. This all took place this past offseason after the move of Shaq Moore, where Nashville SC traded him away. I think, you know, to some people, Shaq was a fan favorite, but I believe it was the right move. I think it was the right move. In BJ's system, if Shaq stayed around, I think it would have required a lot of quick and transition play, fast buildup, as I've already been preaching in this podcast. But I just think it would would not bode well for Shaq. I don't think he'd be able to fulfill the full requirements needed in the BJ Callahan system. As for Andy Nahar, though, he's for sure a fast-paced player. He's good in transition. Obviously, enjoys the attacking aspect of the game, as I've already stated before. But during the preseason at practice, I was able to ask him a few questions, and you know, I asked him what player he kind of looked up to as a kid and what kind of style he wanted to emulate. That's what he had to say.
Creo que me comparo con Dani Alves. Creo que es el jugador que siempre vi como jugaba en esa posición, ¿no? Y la verdad que creo que no soy del mismo nivel, pero sí parecido a él.
Is this someone you looked up to as a kid?
Sí, siempre.
Yeah, Andy Nahart, big Danny Alves guy. You know, Danny Alves, yeah, he's played everywhere. Danny's played for the best of the best. He's won multiple La Liga titles with Barcelona, Scudetto with Juventus, and Serie A, and yeah, obviously a gold medal out there in the Olympics in Tokyo. And seeing Nahart play in action versus Lexton, he had a few spurts where he get into the offensive attack, you know, kind of channeling his inner Danny Alves in some regard. But when doing so, his fellow international teammate, Brian Acosta, who's another new addition to this Nashville SC roster, would slide back into the defensive role while Andy was up in the offensive attack, which is kind of neat. But, you know, that's kind of the same thing with soccer. You kind of rotate. You're kind of rotating in the system. And, you know, if Alex Moyle is up there at right wing or something along those lines, or if it's a right attacking midfielder, because I've recognized in BJ Callahan's system, I don't know if you want to call it a traditional 4-4-2 system where you have four at the back, four midfielders, two strikers up top. I don't know. BJ's kind of evolved it into like a 4-2-2-2, if that makes sense, where you have four midfielders, two attacking midfielders, and two strikers. And I kind of like that. It just, the only concern is if you're not technical with your feet, there's a lot of open room for transitional error for another team to take advantage of. And I think that's one thing that's been expressed, I'd say, ad nauseum at this point with BJ Callahan's system, is you have to be really good with the ball at your feet technically, and he's preached that multiple times. If it's at preseason talking to media, or if it's just talking to his team in general at practice, that is something that is stressed in this system. So with that being said, you know, BJ is obviously a very technically sound coach, which is a good thing, and that could also open up versatilities with his players. Nashville has some versatile pieces in their roster. That's the thing. They have great talent on this roster. And in fact, like, can put it all together. The last couple of seasons before Sam Surge got to Nashville, it was all Hani Mukhtar. Hani would take set pieces, corner kicks in some regard, free kicks, penalties, etc. Now that with the new additions to this roster, last season, this past offseason, it should open up more opportunities for Hani to excel, in my opinion. I think that's something that, when you become older, especially like a guy like Hani, when you become in your late 20s into your early 30s, that's kind of looked at in soccer as the end of a prime for somebody's, I guess, potential. You've already kind of plateaued for your potential. And I mean, some people may look at it as otherwise, but when you get into your late 20s, early 30s, that can become a little bit of an issue for a guy like Hani. But the good thing is with Nashville, they're kind of trimming the fat off the steak, all right? I'm going to use a food reference because I love food. It's like trimming the fat off the steak. If you have too much fat on the steak, it's not going to taste well. I mean, you're just going to get more fat content than the actual meat, the actual flavor of the food. And I think that's what Nashville SC, Mike Jacobs, BJ Callahan is doing, while also trying to retool the roster to compete. Unfortunately, I'm going to make the comparison. It's kind of like the Titans. The Titans tried to retool this roster and trim out the fat while trying to compete for a Super Bowl. Now, Nashville SC is doing that, but I think it's a little bit more, in my opinion, doable, manageable in the soccer realm of things. Some people may think otherwise, but you know, Nashville SC, they've had issues with Huntsville not being a great feeder system. I believe they were like last in MLS Next Pro last year. I'll have to double check on that, but like it was not a great look for them. So I think when you add a lot of these young guys, like a Matthew Corcoran, who's a great midfielder, youngster, 19-year-old, made some appearances for USL Club in Birmingham and so forth. You bring in some young guys like Isaiah Jones as well. Adam Sepich, like the forward there, I believe is 19 years old. Like you have a lot of young core, which is great. Some of those guys have made the NSC roster, which is also another great thing to have. It shows that you have youth for the future. They signed Gio Migliotti to a Huntsville contract. Like that's another young guy that's back and forth. He's a go-getter. I think those are the type of guys you want to be able to invest in the future. There's also a concern behind all this, and I'll get to that later. But like I was saying about Hani, when you get into your late 20s, early 30s, you rely on the younger core pillar guys like a Patrick Yazbek, like a Eddie Tagseth, you know, along the lines of those. And now you have Ahmed Kassem, who's another, I guess you could call him a young core pillar into this new Nashville SC 2.0, the way they want to phrase it. So I think that's something you have to look forward to. I don't want to say Kasem is the replacement for Hani Mukhtar. No, I don't want to say that. But he has the intangibles to play that attacking midfielder role that Hani has played in years past. I wouldn't say he's a, you know, top guy like a Sam Surridge, no, but he's that attacking midfielder, that 10 that just sits back in there in the pocket, right above the 18, I'd say the final third of the field. But I'll get back to Ahmed Kasem here in a little bit. You know, just getting back to some of the veterans on Nashville SC's roster. Speaking about Hani Mukhtar, you know, last year, Nashville was the oldest team in MLS. This year, their roster average age is about 26 and a half years old, which is around 3 years younger or so. But overall, they got some valuable veteran core pieces still on this roster. And one of them is Joe Willis, the goalkeeper. Joe has been here since Nashville SC made the jump to the MLS. He's one of those veteran guys between the pipes. And, you know, when I caught up with Joe in the preseason after one of the practices, I had to ask him if he had any personal goals coming into this season, obviously being on his last contract. And here's what he had to say.
I want to win trophies. That's it. Point blank. I want to win the MLS Cup. I want to win U.S. Open Cup. I want to win any other random trophy or tournament that they're going to throw us in at some point.
Love that comment from Joe there. The guy that just wants to win, just like everybody else. When you get older, especially a guy like Joe Willis, who's on the roster and is entering his last season on the contract, I feel like you have something to prove. Not just to yourself, though. I think saying it in general, you have to have something to prove to your employer, the guy who's signing your checks. I think this job Joe has done for Nashville has been exceptional. In the clip that just played, he made a comment saying that he wants to win trophies or whatever tournament they put Nashville SC in. And I think that brings me to my next point with Nashville only competing in the U.S. Open Cup this year. I think it bodes well for them, in my opinion. I think Nashville, it helps with their load management when it comes to their roster. If it is, you know, injury perspective or international perspective when it comes to, you know, players getting called up to their nation's top squad. Or worst case scenario, real bad injuries. And sometimes that a two-week break might help them out with trying to recover from that. So I think those type of things speak volumes. And speaking about an international play, when it does come to something like that, being in one of those tournaments for Nashville, if the young players like Matt Corkin, who I mentioned earlier, Isaiah Jones, and maybe two veteran guys like a Gaston Brugman, and maybe even some more veterans that are available, that they could string together a really solid secondary starting 11. And I think that's what you really have to have in MLS is you have to have a really good core starting 11 that you can win week in and week out. I could say your A team in a roundabout way. But when you go to these international breaks and you don't have the depth when it comes to not having the Jacob Schaffelberg out there on the far left, I call him the Ferrari in the garage because all Nashville does is whenever they don't start him, he's coming off the bench, and he is like a secret enforcer. And I think that's just something that Nashville has kind of utilized. I mean, talk about versatility. That's something that Nashville is trying to, I think, open up Jacob's game a little bit more when it comes to versatility. You know, he's known for his fastball and flying by defenders with his pace. But, you know, you've got to be able to just cut inside to the top of the 18 and maybe curl one back post and or pass it off. I think that's something that needs to be, you know, not addressed, but something that should be focused on a little bit. But now that the preseason's over, Nashville has made one more acquisition from the start, as I mentioned earlier, kind of hinting at Ahmed Kasem, kind of giving a little brief overview of him coming from the Swedish Premier League from IF Elfsborg. I think that he's a good, you know, player. Looking at his tape, you know, he has the natural comfortability on the ball. There's something about his instincts. He's sharp when it comes to transition. Something you got to keep in mind when it comes to BJ Callahan's system. You want to be able to play quick in transition. He's natural with the ball at his feet. He's cool, calm, collected from what I've seen of the tape that's online. I think this kid's pretty solid. But it just, you know, you got to be able to play your game when it comes to playing with Nashville SC. And, you know, everybody keeps speaking about his resume and playing in Europa League, playing against Tottenham, playing for a team in La Liga, playing for Roma in Serie A, and playing in Ligue 1 in France. Like, that's great. But this is Nashville SC. It's MLS. Some people look at Europe as some of the best soccer in the world, which is true. Understandable about that. But you can't be holding on to this resume. And I'm not talking about the player. I'm talking about just the perception of the player. Yeah, it's great to hype up a player like that, but at the same time, whatever got him to this point, which is his skills on the field, that's what's going to determine how good of a player he is with Nashville. Because we've seen it before. Players that come in here like Jonder Cadiz or Ake Loba, who have excelled elsewhere, and they do nothing with Nashville. So I just, even though they're young and they're coming off career highs in stats, which is a great thing to have, but you just got to make sure hopefully they're not young prospects that are, you know, I wouldn't say duds, but don't have a promising future. You want to make sure of that. But I think that that's the thing now with Nashville is when you start buying these young players and they're coming off really good seasons, you're catching them at the right time. And in my opinion, when it comes to soccer, momentum plays a huge factor. It's kind of like baseball. I heard this recently on 102.5 The Game on one of the shows. When a pitcher is having an issue and they need to get out of this rut they're in, what do? You keep playing them. That's the same thing with Nashville. You're going to keep developing the young talent by playing them, whether it's at Huntsville or it's with the top team with Nashville SC. If they're going up against a team that didn't excel well last season, like a New England Revolution that's going to come up this weekend, you got to start continuing to play them. And when you do that, I think that just develops confidence in the player. It develops a lot of good qualities and may even unlock some qualities that the player didn't even think they had, which is always a good thing. So that's something to look forward to with Nashville, especially with Kossom. I think Kossom is a solid player. He can play out in the left, right, midfield area of the attack. And it's just impressive because, like I said before, I wouldn't call him Hani Mukhtar's replacement, but I would say he would be playing in Hani Mukhtar's position when Hani's not available, which is something to really keep your eye on about that as well. But going forward, like I said, match day one coming up this Saturday at Geodis Park. Nashville will host New England Revolution. New England is a team that struggled a little bit last season, you know, separating from the bottom. Only 1 point with Chicago. Chicago finished bottom of the barrel on the Eastern Conference at 30 points. And then there's New England Revolution right above them at 31. So this is a team that I think Nashville should be able to take care of for the most part. But I think one of their big additions you could kind of look at was when Inter Miami opened up a few international roster spots and $2.5 million, getting rid of Leo Campana over the Ecuadorian striker, sending him to New England. So that's a new addition for them. I would see what he does with the Revolution. I think this is something that Nashville should be able to take care of. One thing I am looking forward to for this weekend, especially Saturday night, is BJ Callahan's starting 11. You know, it's been mentioned in press conferences, especially after Austin this past week, that he just doesn't know what his starting 11 is going to look like. Obviously, talked about it on the Chase and Big Joe show with BJ Callahan's interview with the guys there. Yeah, he was asked about it. He was asked about his starting 11. What's that going to look like?
Yeah, I would say we still don't know what our starting 11 is going to be, but the addition of Ahmed gives us, you know, more depth for sure. A lot of guys have had opportunities in the preseason to play good minutes as well. So there's real good, healthy competition in the group right now. And I think as we get closer to Thursday, Friday, we'll be able to narrow down who we want to have as that starting 11.
So yeah, that's what BJ had to say about that. Obviously with the new addition of Ahmed Kossom, that may put a little wrench into things, maybe use him as a substitution type guy for the time being until he gets fitted into the whole system with Nashville SC. But if it's anything like we saw with the Lexington preseason game, when it comes to the starting 11, I could see Nashville scoring about 2 to 3 goals in this match. Nashville now has the firepower when it comes to the potential goal creators and goal scorers. It's important that this team gets off to a hot start. Because if they don't, like, they really can't afford to draw or lose to teams that were near the bottom of the barrel of the Eastern Conference last year. They just can't afford to do stuff like that like they did last year. So I'm also intrigued and see how Nashville reacts after scoring a goal or multiple goals with holding, you know, a lead. I know that sounds kind of weird. Let's see how they react after scoring goals. No, like, I want to see how they are after, you know, being up 2-0 at halftime. I want to know how this team reacts. I want to know if they still are, you know, pressing on the gas pedal, wanting to score 4, 5, 6, or 7 goals. Like, obviously, that's a ridiculous number, but I would love to see Nashville score at least 4 to 5 goals, like that mentality. I just wanted to see them keep pressing the gas pedal because I feel like Nashville SC fans are exhausted with the, oh, let's score 2 goals and sit back. Well, everybody's seen how that happened. They've already seen that story. They don't want to see it again. With Gary Smith, it was, oh, we're going to score a goal, maybe 2 goals, and then we're going to sit back, and hopefully our defense will be good enough. I think Nashville has realized now their defenders are good. Like Walker Zimmerman's great. Jack Mayer's great. Josh Bauer's solid. Those defenders are all great, right? But the thing is when you have a coach that likes to play fast in transition, likes to keep possession of the ball, more than likely your center backs are not going to have to use their feet for the majority of the time. They're there to defend. And if you have that whole problem going on, that's where Nashville was last year, was just so it was tough to watch at times, because you were like, oh, Nashville up 1-0, or they'd concede goals immediately. Because that's another problem, is that you don't want to see Nashville concede goals. You know, I believe I asked BJ Callahan, like, after a full offseason of, you know, evaluating the team's performances last year of conceding goals and scoring goals, how he was able to try to figure out that balance. There you go. Right from the horse's mouth, BJ Callahan said it, does not want to concede poor goals. You know, when you look back, especially into this past preseason, BJ has, like I said, emphasized on these small things. He's a technically sound coach. That's what makes him stand out from all the other coaches, for sure. But he mentioned one thing, and that was phases. You go through small phases. It's like phase one, phase two, phase three. I think it's vital, especially when you have, like I've mentioned before, young core players like a Patrick Yazbek and Eddie Tagseth. Like, those two guys, especially in the midfield, was what Nashville is going to literally lean on going forward. If Jacob Schaffelberg is here for the long haul, that's something that you might want to have him along with. Compartmentalize phase by phase. It's something to look at, for sure. I think, you know, this year with Nashville SC, it's going to be a lot of learning. As much as that sounds kind of elementary, it's a season of learning. I think that's something that people are like, well, they had the whole second half of the season after Gary Smith was gone to learn. Yeah, but you also got new guys that came in this past off season. They got to learn this system too, man. That's something you got to put into perspective. Not everybody can go ride a bike without training wheels. I mean, I can. I don't know if you can or not, but like that's something you got to look at. It's the wide spectrum view of the whole situation. So, but I'll get into this. I'll get into my concerns for this upcoming season. My concerns for Nashville, it's the predictability of this side and how they play. Obviously, I've just now mentioned that it's a step back. You have to learn, compartmentalize, phase by phase, all the above. Hopefully, in those phase by phase situations, this all gets, you know, taken out in the wash, that this does not happen. But, you know, watching the Lexington game, I don't know if it was the fact that Lexington's left side was just exposable to the point where Sam, Hani, and Eddie were just feeling it on all cylinders. They were able to just beat the left back and just that part of the field and go in for goal. If that's the thing, then sure. But I don't, as somebody that watches the game and just tries to study it, I don't want to see 15 to 20 games in, those three guys, if it's going to be Walker passes it to Patrick Yazbek, then Yazbek passes it to Eddie Tagseth, then Tagseth is, you know, messing around with the ball at his feet, pass it into Hani, back to Tagseth, back to Sam, the ball gets turned over, then you have a lot of space in behind those guys that can be quick in transition. And that's what I think teams 15 to 20 games in, hopefully that's not the case for BJ Callahan and his side, that they don't get that to be caught on to be a predictable thing. But teams will catch on to that. Within 15 to 20 games, I'd say maybe even less. I'd say maybe 10. Some teams catch on to that pretty quick, and it could be a concern. I think it's something to look out for sure. But as we narrow down this podcast to the very end, I will say I got to put out my predictions for the season before I forget. My predictions for Nashville this year, I kind of mentioned beforehand, maybe a playoff-worthy team. I do think they make the top nine. I'd say probably eight at my lowest. I'd say, obviously, the top nine is the qualification for playoffs. I think they're at least eight at the lowest point of making it in. But I'm thinking they're more in the 6 to 7 range. I think they get one of the last solidified spots into the playoffs rather than having to play in from 8 and 9. I also think, you know, my gut, you know, I don't know if you guys listen to Force Company on Saturdays from 9 to 11 with Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, and Jake Wallman and myself. But I have a thing where my gut tells me something. And normally it doesn't steer me in the wrong direction. So I'm hoping it kind of leans me in the right direction here. There's something about it, about this U.S. Open Cup, that's just telling me Nashville is going to make an aggressive push to win it all. You know, after the years of not winning any hardware to show for their hard work, and obviously coming up short in the League's Cup against Inter Miami, that was just an unfortunate event. But at the same time, you got to think that was Lionel Messi and all his gang that kind of, you know, took that whole tournament by surprise in some regard. But I do think Nashville has the cards in their favor for this U.S. Open Cup. If they don't win it all, that is, I'd say at least a top four finish, what that is, being about the semifinals. So that's my prediction on Nashville SC for the MLS season, U.S. Open Cup. And I'll say some player predictions as well. I'll put it out there. I think Hani scores. Oh, boy. I think his goal production will definitely be more active. I'll give it a number. I'd say probably 15 to 17 goals from Hani Mukhtar this year. I think that's something to look forward to. Sam Surridge, probably in the same boat. I wouldn't say 15 to 17, but for sure, you got to see an increase. I think last year he had roughly 10 to 11. So I'll go maybe 13 to 15 for Sam. I think you got to have two double-digit goal scorers. I mean, hell, if Sam wants to score 20-something-odd goals, I'm fine with that. You got to be able to utilize him in the right way. And I think Nashville is starting to get that gelling point when it comes to these young guys and building chemistry. And Sam even said one day after practice, we asked him, like, what players is he gravitating towards when it comes to chemistry and so forth? Is it, you know, Hani still, or is it Patrick, or who is it? Here's what he had to say.
All of the new lads have been great additions. I think Eddie's going to be a great addition, as well as the others. But I think, I sort of can, like, gravitate, I'd say, towards Eddie and Patrick a little bit more, because I don't know, we say it was similar in terms of our background of where we played, and I don't know, we sort of get on well together. So I'd say probably them two off the pitch.
So he's a big fan of those guys when it comes to his style of play, and I think that's just going to help him score a numerous amount of goals. I'd say about 13 to 15. That's kind of where I'm sitting on that. But that's where I stand so far for episode one of the Talking Calcio podcast with Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. You can hear this podcast weekly throughout the season. You'll hear some guests from either Nashville SC or Nashville SC media members, whoever it may be. But you'll be able to hear that here on the Talking Calcio podcast with Nick Frazier here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, the Game Nashville Sports Network. We'll see you next episode. Peace.